That was an exceedingly tremendous statement. The importance, the value, the weight, the significance of what he said is dependent upon the one who does the saying. And the one thing I know, we've lost reverence, esteem, high regard for God. Therefore, His word is little esteemed. I don't remember who said it, but he said, I open my Bible and God talks with me. And then I close it and go talk with God. I think I'll be more ready to depart when God is highly esteemed in the church again. If you'll permit me, I'd like to drift off from the latter rain this morning. You turn with me to Psalm 57. Folk, I can't explain this that is in the physical, but I know it has to do with the spiritual. If I can get it. Yesterday was a much more difficult day physically than today. But the difficulty of yesterday leaves me in a very weak condition today. So there's something about the storm clouds coming that have a greater effect upon us than us in the storms. Part of that may be due to the fact that God draws us very close to Him in the storm. But you let the sun be blotted out, and the dark clouds appear, and it has its effect upon us. But we are as much in need of the dark clouds and the rain falling out there today as we are in need of the sun shining. But I think we've lived so long in this land without the sun shining that we've got used to it. But a little ray of hope has been beaming in my heart. For that is ahead. And then we begin our services and the devotions have been great. And that heightens a little beam of what lies ahead. Lord Hepping, I want to speak to you this morning from Psalm 57, verse 5, and the first five words of that verse. Be thou exalted, O God. Would you pray with me? Holy Father, when we consider the heavens, the works of thine hand, the earth thy footstool, and when we're permitted to behold glorious things of thee as revealed in Scripture, and with such a sense of who we are in self, there's always that cry within, what is man, O Lord, that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou would visit him. But Holy Father, because you have, we bow before you to give thanks. We bow before you that we might in word make known the exalted God. My Father, if it's pleasing, would you continue to remove the dark scales from our eyes and make known unto us as much of thy glory as we can handle, as would be beneficial for us here in this time state. And it would be as would be beneficial for thy church. Do that. That Christ might be seen, known, loved, obeyed, and worshipped. And Lord, this cannot be apart from thy Holy Spirit. So we ask thee to give us him and fix our hearts and come. And Lord, would you for a little while condescend one more time to dwell in the midst of thy people here, but Lord, we ask not only for here, but where thy people gather this day, Give us a focused sight. Give us a good heart in hearing and in understanding. And then, Lord, let us walk away from here. Be careful to give Thee the glory and dwell upon these things. Meditate upon them. For it is in this, in the eating, the assimilating of Thy food, that we're changed from this old earthly image into that of a heavenly. Help us this day, Almighty God, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 57, you will see in the introduction of the psalm that it is of David when he is fleeing from Saul and has hid himself in the cave. But it matters not how secret the cave might be, how with three walls around, safety might be felt a little. The children of God know that there is no safety in any dwelling here. So in the cave, in its darkness, in the cave, in ever what is in David's heart as far as dread or fear from Saul, he starts out with these words, "Be merciful unto me, O God." And he's not trying to extend his request or be heard for his long speaking, but he repeats it. "Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings," dark cave, fearful heart, not knowing what tomorrow or even today might bring. "My soul trust in thee, my soul trust in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge." You remember the condemnation of God against the people that did, when they knew God, glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Now listen, and to birds. They didn't like the knowledge they had of God. So they changed the glory of an uncorruptible, the uncorruptible God, to an image made like to corruptible man and to birds. Now think about what they did in bringing God down. Has David done anything less? In the shadow of thy wings, only fowl, birds have wings. They're condemned in Romans 1. David's not. Now you figure out what made the difference. In the shadow of thy wings, he either has pulled God down, and I hope you understand what I say. When I say pull God down, I don't mean he's brought God down out of heaven. But in mind and in heart, he has either pulled God down in his being and attributes to be near unto him in the shadow. I don't even have to get under your wing. If you're just near enough, I won't worry about the hawk. If you're just near enough that I can get in the shadow of thy wings. So he's pulled God down to be near enough unto him to be in the shadow, or he has ascended above his surroundings to get in the shadow of God's wing. Now he's in a cave. Where you are doesn't matter. Where you are physically. It's where God is. In your heart. And in your mind. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities. So one way or another, he's close enough to God. The situation hasn't changed. The condition hasn't changed. But somehow or another, he's close enough to God that the calamities just don't matter anymore. I'll sit here until these calamities be overpaid. I will cry unto God Most High. If you ever speak in a derogatory manner of high officials, and they hear about it, you're in trouble. And yet David has pulled God down where he is to have wings. So that his son here can get in the shadow of those wings. And that become his refuge. I will cry unto God Most High. unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Listen to his condition. My soul is among lions. Now, I've always, or in the past, I've tried to get you to think about the Lord Jesus when you read the Psalms, because they are of him. And no one is described greater than the Lord Jesus. My soul is among lions. The Sanhedrin, the religious Jews, the high priest, turned over to the Roman government, among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, jealous, hating. Souls ablaze, determined to destroy him. Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. But it is of David. It speaks first of Christ. But God has let David, in a small degree, enter into a little of the condition of his Lord when he was here upon earth. And it is in this condition, in a cave, his enemy close at hand, the men of Israel set on fire to destroy him, their teeth and their tongue like a sharp sword. And in the middle of that, there comes this that I hope you'll never forget. For he gets above the condition he is in, and woe is me, David, for God is not doing right by me. He gets beyond the woe is me, and he cries out, be thou exalted above the heavens, and let thy glory be above all the earth. Be thou exalted means to be very high, to be lifted up. It means to extol. Psalm 30, we're coming back here, but Psalm 30. Psalm 30, same word, exalted, is translated extol here. I will extol, that is, I'll make you very lofty, very high, very exalted, or lifted up. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Context here is because his enemies didn't have the power to carry out the wicked plot, schemes, or desires of their heart. His enemies have been placed lower than he is. Because nobody's going to ever be concerned about God being exalted until he, the petitioner at the throne of grace, is lifted up above all things. You'll never have a desire for the exaltation of God in prayer sitting here until you're up above. I don't know the conditions from which you came this morning. I don't know if there's storm clouds brewing on the horizon. I don't know if there's difficulties in your life. I don't know if you're faced with problems that no one knows about except you and God. But I know this, you won't ever desire God to be exalted until you get above where you are. John, come up hither. Jesus Christ has told him about the condition of the seven churches to which he is to write. And every one of them had fault that John was to condemn in writing, with the exception of one, I think it is. Come up hither. Get above all that's around you. I mean, we're in a mess in America. Church is not where and what she ought to be. Can you get above all that for just a little bit? Above the present condition, to the point that God be exalted. Present condition. I am black. That's the language of the church to our Lord. I am black. This is the language of the church to our Lord. Oh, wretched man that I am. This is the language of the church to her Lord. Lord, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Until I'm above who I really am. Until my condition of what I really am is beneath me, until I am above present and above past and above not looking at that might be in the future, until I am above all people and their needs. And above me and my needs, here and here only, has one an eye to the exaltation of God Almighty. He must increase. Ought to be the desire in every heart. I must decrease. I will make thee high. I will exalt thee. I will lift thee up. That's a man whose present condition has no effect upon him. He has ascended to a place above this earth. It is he and the Lord. But now, as old Brother Avery, Dr. Rogers, used to say, son, the Lord won't leave you long on the mountain. You'll get giddy-headed up there. I didn't know what giddy-headed was. I had to look it up in the dictionary. Air's thin up there. You get a little light-headed. It's a dangerous place. Listen to this, verse number 6. Psalm 30, verse number 6. And in my prosperity, I will exalt, I will lift up God. Only man, woman's ever able to do that is one that God has raised above present circumstances. And raised above present circumstances, and you're eyeing God in my prosperity. I said, I shall never be moved. Just read on a little farther later on down, you'll find David back down on earth again. That high place is gone. Psalm 34, verse number 3. He's up in that heavenly place. In that God consciousness where the things of this world have grown strangely dim. And feeling strong and secure on that mountain, he fell back down to earth. But here he is again, verse number 3, Psalm 34. Oh, magnify. That is to grow. That is to make great. Become large. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. But now back to Psalm 57. David is asking of God, or making a statement to God, be thou exalted. But wait a minute, dear ones. Before you consider that with me, God is exalted. God is very high and lifted up. For thou, Lord, art high above the earth. Psalm 97. Thou art exalted above all gods. The Lord is great in Zion, Psalm 99. He is exalted above all people. Isaiah, as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways that much higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 45. I want to ask you to turn much more. But David's seemingly asking for that which already is. God is exalted. God is very high. God is lifted up. The Lord speaking, Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I think this is the passage that the old Methodist layman stood up and read one night when Charles Spurgeon had been hunting and searching so long for the Lord and could not find Him. And the preacher was unable to get there because of a heavy snowstorm. And an old layman stood up and read that verse, look unto me. And Mr. Spurgeon said, that's the verse that God used that night to open my eyes. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God. Now listen, and there is none else. 46 of Isaiah, verse number 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. God telling you, I'm high. I'm exalted. I'm lifted up. Now, why would a child of God have any interest in God being exalted if He already is high and lifted up? My thoughts are so far above your thoughts that you can't even come close to thinking. Dear ones, you have been endowed with the ability to reason. If I do this, then here may be the repercussions, or here may be the result of my decision. You've been given the ability to think. With a mind that can go back years, hours, days. With a mind that can run ahead to tomorrow, next year, down the road. But I kindly ask you don't to live in either place. Sometimes thoughts seem to come like a little butterfly out of nowhere. You don't know where it came from, why it's there. You do have the ability to speculate, to reason. There's no such thing with God. When He said, my thoughts are so much higher than your thoughts, He's not talking about I'm sitting up here today and the Trinity, and we had this glorious thought. It can't be. God can't have a thought. God doesn't think like we as rational creatures. He who knows everything, if there's a thought that can come to the mind of God, it must be that God didn't know everything. So when He says, my thoughts are so much higher above your thoughts, He's not talking about Him having what we have. Where God is, and who God is in reality may be different than where you have God, and it may be different than who you have God. Folk, knowing God is not us bringing God down to our level, it's God lifting you up somewhat to a different level. So when David speaks of God being exalted, he is not supposing that there is one more rung on the ladder to which I can lift God. He's already at the highest point. You can't put Him any higher. You can't make Him get beyond that position of where He is. And God in works is so far above, so far beyond, so high above your thought, you can't even come close to knowing God. Christ is compared to the Son, S-U-N, Psalm 19. I mean, it's up there to teach us about the S-O-N. Great minds over the centuries have come up with things wherein they now can tell us that the sun is doing this and is behaving this way because of that. But the most brilliant minds that have ever been cannot explain to us how a few little atoms for 8,000 years could be doing what they're doing. They can't come up with, they can't estimate the amount of heat and light that have come from the sun in this time state. They've discovered other galaxies far out beyond ours. And God's far out beyond all that. And I say far out beyond all that is in God, because God is in all places. Saints have been contemplating the love of God for 8,000 years, and they hadn't scratched the surface yet. The book contains some of the events and some of the words, some of the deeds in the life of Christ, but I with John supposing that if everything he did and said had been recorded, that the world could not contain the books. Have you got God kind of high? Be thou exalted. This has got nothing to do with God. He is where He is. He is who He is. But it's got everything to do with David. David wants to get God in his heart and mind. Where God really is. You know anybody that's got a desire like that today? We have brought God down that most of us think that the only reason God exists today is to give us good health and to provide the things we need down here and to take care of our problems and bring solutions to our troubles. That's all God is. David just wanting to get God back in his own heart and mind where God really is. Is there somebody here that will trample underfoot their needs, their emotions, and everything else for a desire for God to be exalted? Be thou exalted, God, above me. This thing's not about me. I am not the sun. And everything does not revolve around me. Be thou exalted above my family. Dear, love them, but I'll not have an idol. Is there someone here that can get into fellowship with David, sitting in a cave, not knowing what tomorrow will bring. But where he is and the condition he's in has got nothing to do with the desire of his heart. Be exalted above my family. Keep them in the right place, O God. Don't let me rise up to some place in my own mind and heart to think I can be serviceable to God Almighty or beneficial to His church. Why, if we do not somewhere come to this, being exalted, surely the very stones out there, hard-hearted people that have no desire, if we don't get above where we are and who we are and what condition we're in and get to the place that the overwhelming desire of our soul is for God to be exalted, God may just move us out of the way and bring somebody in that will. Will you read one last with me? Dear ones, I promise you I am not unaware of the time, and I'll soon close. Second Samuel 19. This is that David that was on the throne, that is now humiliated, that has passed over the brook Kidron with all its blackness and filth, gone up the hill, sackcloth, ashes, barefooted, and everybody weeping. And the one that David would have killed had he been an ordinary king was Mephibosheth. But because of his bond with Mephibosheth's father, David sought him out, spared his life, and brought him to his own table and set him there with his own sons. Verse number 24. David's coming back in Jerusalem. Well, Mephibosheth's been betrayed by the one David left in charge, or left him in charge to take care of Mephibosheth's land and deeds. And he couldn't get to David. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again. And David asked him, "Why didn't you go with me when I left Jerusalem?" Verse number 26, and he answered, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me." Verse 29, and the king said unto him, "Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said thou in Ziba, divide the land." And Mephibosheth said unto the king, "Yea, let him take all." And the child of God says unto the king, "Be thou exalted above me, above my family, above my land, above my inheritance, above my fortune. Be thou exalted. Let him take all. For as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house." That's all that matters to me. You can give my servant everything that's mine. I don't care. And the child of God lifted above things here. "You can have it all, Lord. You have it all. Be thou exalted above my job, above my career, above my reputation. Be thou exalted even above the graces and the gifts that has been bestowed by thee to us. Again, I can't remember who said it, one of the old Puritans. God's not where he ought to be in your heart until you could say, Lord, if it be for thy glory, I'll go to hell. Now look at the circumstances David's in the cave, among lions, wicked men set on fire, teeth and spears as arrows, and tongue as sharp as a sword. And David just kind of pulls God down in between all this. Or God has lifted David above all this to that one desire. The circumstances that come your way will never change who you are. It'll only reveal. If my son hadn't fallen in with the wrong crowd, and my daughter hadn't fallen in with the wrong crowd, they'd still be serving God. The crowd didn't change them. The circumstances only revealed. And a great grief in my soul is how little Christ is esteemed by the professing Christians, and how few there are that really desire his exaltation. The life of a Christian is truly this, nothing less than communion with a resurrected, glorified, exalted, high and lifted up Lord. Where is he in your eyes? You still got too many things between you and him? For life is eating us up. We don't have life. Life has us. Would to God you'd come back, all of us come back next Sunday with a little greater desire for the exaltation of Almighty God.